We're just 2 days away from the start of the 2024 NFL Draft, and all eyes are on Giants GM Joe Shane, and what's he going to do with that 6th overall pick? Big Blue, what's going on, baby? I'm Brandon London, and this is a pre-draft episode of Blue Rush, our Giants show for the New York Post and SNY. So let's bring in longtime Giants beat writer for the Post. You know him. You read the articles. You know that face. There's Paul Schwartz in the building. Paul, thanks for hopping on with us today, man. Busy times for you, huh, with 2 days left until the draft?
There's nothing like the draft. You know, we said it before, Brandon. There's nothing like it. When I first started, like 2 or 3 weeks before you start writing about and talking about the drafts, then it's a month, then it's 6 weeks, then it's 2 months. This has been hot and heavy. And as you know, when the team you're covering is number 6, all bets are off. When they're picking 20, 25, 28, it's harder to figure out. And a lot of guys are going to be gone. A lot of needs don't get addressed. But at number 6, and whenever there's a quarterback in the mix, now we'll see if there is, but there's certainly a chance that a quarterback is in the mix. And that turns the normal craziness of a draft into something otherworldly, because quarterbacks like to hold on a whole world on fire. Yeah, we'll get into it. We'll get into it on this podcast. Giants can go in a bunch of different directions. All I know is if I meet 10 people, there are 12 opinions on what they should do.
All right, before we recap some of the storylines over the offseason, we get into your final mock draft, and we're also going to take a couple fan videos. Where will you be draft night, and what's your situation like? What's your night like?
I'm going to take the Thursday, Friday, and Saturday off. I'm going to vacation. Yeah, I don't feel like working.
Cancun?
Everyone always asks me the same thing. You know, are you at Radio City all those years ago? Are you in Detroit? Are you here? No. Every year I'm in the same place. I'm at the Giants headquarters, so I'm in the building. I'm in the media room because, don't forget, we watch the draft there. Sometimes we get tipped off a little early on who their picks are going to be. And then right after they make a pick, we get ushered right into the auditorium and talk to Joe Shane and Brian Daboll and whoever else, of the personnel people they want to offer up to us. And it's quick and it's, bang, bang. And they make the pick and they come down. And, some years you can tell they're incredibly excited when you go into that auditorium. Some years you can kind of tell they're kind of like, okay, happy to have them. Good player. Happy to have them. What do you guys got? You know what I mean? What do you guys got? And every year is different. When it's a quarterback, it's much different, of course. I remember 2004, not like it's yesterday, but I remember it when, all that stuff was going on. And all of a sudden they draft Philip Rivers and Eli gets taken by the Chargers. And what's going to happen? It's a trade. I mean, that was an all-timer because you have a trade and you have a franchise quarterback and you have a Manning. So, I don't know if it'll be quite that dramatic on Thursday night, but with the chance of a quarterback, I'll be in the building with the Giants, and we'll see. We'll see.
Yeah, anytime there's a chance of grabbing a quarterback, especially a franchise-leading quarterback, the storylines are going to be absolutely on fire all throughout the offseason. So let's talk about some of these storylines throughout the offseason that we think was going to affect the draft. First and foremost, Daniel Jones running sprints. The Giants posted a video of him running sprints with the guys, and there are reports that he's throwing already. It's a great sign for DJ, but Paul, you have a trending article up on the Post that's titled Giants would be inviting chaos if they use a high draft pick on a quarterback. Your thoughts on where DJ is right now health-wise and how that affects what Joe Shane can do with the 6th overall pick?
I think he's right on schedule from everything I hear. Now he's running straight, right? Yeah. Straight line. Yeah. So look, unfortunately, Brandon, unfortunately, the recovery from all kinds of other ligament damages, right? I mean, these guys go down every day, every week with these, and they know exactly how to treat them. And they know they don't go into surgery right away. They wait 2 or 3 weeks or 4 weeks to strengthen the ligaments around. Then they do the surgery. Then they start the rehab, and they're in the pool and in the water. That's why, last month when Joe Shane said he's throwing on land or he's throwing on dry land or whatever, people looked at, when I tweeted that, go like, what is he supposed to be throwing on the ocean? Well, no, because he's throwing and running in water before that to take the pressure off the knee. Then it's on land. And then, look, his arm is fine. So he can do some sets. So unless there is a you know, something happens and there's a setback with this recovery, I expect Daniel to be doing a little bit in the spring, a little bit. Maybe he jumps into a 7-on-7 with that, you know, don't touch me red jersey, throws a few passes, then gets out of there with nobody near him. But I would think he would be ready for training camp. Now, you know, maybe not hot and heavy every drill in training camp, but, you know, I don't see any reason if there's no setbacks that he is not ready to start the season as the starting quarterback, which is what Joe Shane and Brian Daboll said is the expectation, no matter who else is on the roster, if he's healthy.
You think because of where he is right now in terms of this rehab process, running in the straight line, being able to kind of do some light drop backs or drills or whatever it is, throwing the ball, do you think that kind of affects that sixth overall pick? Or do you still have to go quarterback there?
Look, don't forget, you know, this regime signed Daniel Jones a year ago, right? He was 25 years old. He led the team to 10 wins, which is including a playoff win. He played well. He stayed healthy. They gave him the money. Since then, he's had a second neck injury, which he told us the other day was a stinger, you know, not quite as serious as his first neck injury. And then he had an ACL. So since that signing, Daniel Jones has become a much more injury-prone quarterback. And so I think for that reason, the Giants are certainly serious about adding to the quarterback room. Not necessarily we must replace Daniel Jones today. I think they would, you know, if they could get up, and we'll talk about that later in the mock draft, if they can get up in position to take one of the top two or three guys, I think they would do that. I don't know if they can do that. I don't know how much equity they want to give up. They only have six picks in this draft. They had two second-round picks, and they traded one of them for Brian Burns, which is obviously a player you want to trade for. I mean, the thing about the chaos with Daniel Jones is this, is that in that column in the New York Post, I didn't say, don't take a quarterback. You know, don't take one because it'll make things crazy. No, there's plenty of reasons to say take a quarterback, but you have to go in if you're the Giants with your eyes open. If you take one in the top 3, 4, 5, or 6 picks, then you have to be prepared for what is to follow, which is controversy, which is people taking sides, which is Daniel Jones had a bad practice. When is the new guy going to play? Daniel Jones threw an interception in the first game. When is the new guy going to play? Asking Brian Daboll several times every day. Bombarded with questions. What about the quarterback? What about the quarterback? You're close to making a decision. Going to teammates, right? Going to the receivers in the room and saying, how's the rookie look? You see any signs Daniel's not playing well or not handling this well? Talking to Daniel Jones every week and saying, Daniel, you feel that pressure of the new guy coming in behind you? He's a rookie. You know he's going to play. I talked to Kerry Collins the other day, and Kerry Collins was on the team and 2003. He led them to the Super Bowl in 2000. They're in the playoffs in 2002, and they drafted Eli Manning. You know, they traded for Eli Manning in 2004, and they called Kerry Collins in. You know, Ernie, of course, he did, and say, look, we want to cut your pay. You'll be able to get some of it back. We want you to stay definitely and be the veteran backup for Eli Manning. And Kerry said, I want no part of that. You know, I don't want any part of being a caretaker, being a mentor. You know, I he didn't think it was fair. But, you know, when I talked to Kerry all these years later, he said, look, kudos to the Giants and kudos to Ernie Accorsi. Yeah. They told me we think that Eli can be the guy. And he turned out to be the guy. Eli said, Kerry Collins said, I have no hard feelings about that. But that is the kind of thing that Kerry wanted to avoid, which is the kind of thing that Daniel Jones would have to deal with every day in the building because he's not cuttable this year because of the money he's going to make. So you want to draft a quarterback, the Giants, fine. Make sure it's the right one and make sure you can deal with the storm that is coming, because there is a storm.
And fans have to understand, like, players, we know the storm is coming in a sense. And I'm nowhere near have the success of a Daniel Jones when my rookie year with the Giants. But the following year, who did they draft, Paul, receiver-wise? Mario Manningham. Again, I was a practice squad guy. I had to know that someone was coming in to not even take my job. I had to take someone else's job, another person's job. So a guy like Daniel Jones, who's been through the ringer, been through the highs and lows of being the quarterback for the New York Football Giants, knows that there's going to be some sort of divide if a younger quarterback comes in and they have to compete for it. But out of everybody, Paul, that any quarterback that I've kind of been around in a long time, I think this guy's built for it because he doesn't play to the applause and he doesn't get low to the boos. Daniel Jones just goes out and plays. So that's going to be something super interesting to keep an eye on. That not only that competition, but what they do with that sixth overall pick if they do bring in that quarterback of the future. They signed John Runyon Jr. and Jermaine Elamunar. I struggle with that name so much. They strengthened the offensive line with those two signings, but did they effectively address the offensive line? Can we put that to bed now?
No, we can't put it to bed. I think they made some good strides, but you know, there's been plenty of years over the last decade when the Giants have been trying to rebuild this offensive line where it made sense what they did. And it's like between who they drafted and who they signed, okay, plug in this guy here, plug in that guy here, they're better. Do I think they're better? Yes. John Runyon Jr. is just an incredibly solid guard. Now, he never missed a game for the Packers. He is not the top tier. You know what I mean? He is maybe one rung below that. Which is why he got the money he did. Good money, not crazy money. The Giants didn't go shopping at Bloomingdale's. They went like into, you know, Macy's more expensive section, if you would. You know what I mean? I like Macy's. I like shopping at Macy's. I don't know about Macy's. You like Macy's? Okay.
Clearance section is on fire, Paul. The clearance section, that's where you find me.
No. Don't they call them Last Acts?
Last Act. Yeah.
You don't shop in Last Acts. There's no way you don't shop in Last Acts, do you?
We're parents, Paul. We gotta get a deal here and there. There we go.
That's right. Your kids gotta wear the good stuff. You go to the Last Act stuff. I get it. So he's a good player. Runyon's a good player. He should step into a starting guard spot and be a good player. You never know. Now, Jermaine, I think it's Elamunar. He was the starting right tackle for the Raiders the last 2 years. Good player. You know, not a great player, good player. They brought him in to compete with Evan Neal. They're going to say, look, Evan Neal, we still like you, but you got to pick it up, man. You know, you were the seventh pick in the draft in 2 years ago, and you have not played like that. He's coming off ankle injury. They would like him, ankle surgery, actually. They would like him to retain the starting right tackle job. That means Elamunar can either be a backup swing tackle or he has position versatility. He can move inside and he can be one of the starting guards. Great if that happens, right? You know, now you have a rookie center in, John Michael Schmitz, who's, was pretty good as a rookie, but he needs to get better. You have Andrew Thomas, who's terrific. The only thing with Andrew Thomas is stay healthy because he's a great player. So the line looks better. Because of that, I don't think I'm going to have them. I don't think they're going to take a lineman high in this draft. I could see them taking a lineman somewhere. I also think that Joe Shane believes that they have pretty good depth now. They signed Stinney. They drafted McKeithen and Josh Izudu. You know, they drafted these guys. They don't think they're garbage. You know, some fans might. Now, did they play great last year? No. But they think they're guys who can fit into the mix as depth guys, maybe a starting guy. So I think there is some depth there of guys who can play. Now you need five guys who can play really well. I'm not going to say he's fixed because it's, you know, I've been fooled too many times before. Yep.
When it comes to the offensive line, the receiver in me is just sure it up. Let us see what their skill set is. I'd like to see Jalin Hyatt. I'd like to see Darius Slayton make plays down the field. And when it comes to the whole back and forth about if they should pick a quarterback, if you can't protect them, don't select them. They have to get the offensive line. We can't be talking about this week five, week six of this season, what's going on with the offensive line. Did you see the video of Kayvon and Brian Burns fishing and doing the sack dance? Is this the pass rush duo that the Giants have needed?
I would have liked to seen that video continue and have somebody, you know, reel in a line, and it's like Dak Prescott on the other line, right? On the other end, right? You know, you got to reel in some quarterbacks here if you're going fishing.
Yeah.
You know, look, Giant fans should love that picture. You know, they should love that video. You know, these guys, you know, it's the off season, voluntary workouts, that's fine, but these guys are spending time. You don't want any jealousy there, right? You know, now Kayvon, you know, this is a new experience for Kayvon too. Right. That, OK, now I got a guy who's making a lot more money than me, who's a really good player. You know, Kayvon wants what Brian Burns got. Right. You know, rising tide lifts all ships. So Kayvon looks at that and said, that pot of gold is waiting for me or more if I can, you know, stay healthy and play and produce. So You know, that's look, they gave him a lot of money. They made a trade with the Panthers to get him. He's a terrific young player, Burns. He's young. That's the main thing. They didn't sign a 29 or a 30-year-old guy. They signed, what is Burns, 26? He'll be 27, I guess. He's a young guy. Kayvon's a young guy looking for his next contract. So, and you know what? I don't think you can just forget about Azeez Ojulari here, you know, as far as an edge rusher, because now what's the deal with Azeez Ojulari? He's not a starter anymore, right? Mm-hmm. He's got to fight for playing time. He's got to stay healthy. Maybe fewer snaps is better for him. He's on the last year of his contract, and that's a good place for the Giants to have him. Hungry, desperate, for a job with the Giants or somebody else. So, you know, look, if Ojulari stays healthy, they'll find a way to get him on the field, even with Burns and Thibodeau. So that helps. That definitely helps.
That's a name we haven't talked about, Azeez Ojulari. He's kind of gone under the radar this offseason, but this is going to help him tremendously because, like you said, now he's on a pitch count. We don't need you for 50-plus snaps. We need you on third and long situations where if you're a Shane Bowen, you can be creative. You can find ways to have three pass rushers like that on the field at one time. You're hoping the Giants can get a lead, hold on to a lead, because now these guys get to actually rush the passer. And those three guys that are capable of doing it. But and just to piggyback before we go into your final mock draft, I think that, like you said, this helps Kayvon so much. You have no room to be upset or to be jealous because here's someone that they brought in to help you unlock your potential. How many times, Paul, did you go talk to him in the locker room after a game and his just demeanor just looked crushed? People were getting after him because they're saying he had to do so much. But little did they know, he was playing within the scheme, and then he was getting double teamed or just almost getting there but not being able to get the sack. So I think this is something that he's going to be able to get one-on-ones and truly put his athleticism on full display. Final thought to wrap up this offseason, Paul, with these storylines before we get into your final mock draft 4.0.
Well, one thing about Shane Bowen and Thibodeau, wasn't Thibodeau the first edge rusher to ever have double-digit sacks for Wink Martindale? I think that's correct,
yep,
right? So
yep.
You talk about a scheme. You know, Wink wanted to create pressure with havoc. You know what I mean? And Kayvon was, dropping sometimes.
Yep.
It was the scheme was not predicated on, I've got four guys, we're going to beat you. It was, I've got four guys, and now I've got two, and now I've got three, and now I've got Bobby Okereke coming, and now I've got Jason Pinnock coming. And, you know, you don't know where we're coming from. Different ways to skin a cat, right? So Shane Bowen believes in, my four guys are going to rush the passer. Now, if it doesn't work, he's got to send five guys or he's got to do things. You know, he has all those things in his arsenal, but he wants to do it with four guys. You know, much the way Steve Spagnuolo did it early in his career with the Giants. You know, you can't block Tuck. You can't block Osi. You can't block Strahan. You can't block, JPP. You can't block these guys. So I'm sending them at you, and I don't, because look, like Shane Bowen said, the fewer guys I have to rush, the more guys I can have in the back, preventing big plays and things like that. So Kayvon this will be good for Kayvon. You know, this is a scheme that, the Titans had a bunch of guys who got double-digit sacks. That's what they want here. That helps Kayvon. Now, it doesn't mean the defense will be better. It will be good for a front four guy, which is one of the reasons why Burns fits so perfectly.
Yeah, and it helps the back end. We don't know what you're going to have at CB2 just yet, opposite of Tay Banks. We don't know who's going to fill in for Xavier McKinney and shore up the back end of that secondary. So like you said, if you can just rush three, four, five guys, you've got more in the back end to kind of protect into coverage. And then, bam, if you got guys back there communicating, being in their right spots, having their eyes in the right spots, then that's going to allow a little bit of extra time for that quarterback to hold on to the ball, for Spider-Man and Kayvon to do their thing. You're spot on with that one. Now let's get into your mock draft 4.0, 2 days before the first round of the NFL draft. And with the sixth pick of the 2024 NFL draft, the New York Football Giants select
Malik Nabers, wide receiver, LSU.
The crowd goes wild.
Remember Corey Webster? How did he say it? What did he say? CBU? Did he call it
CBU?
Or something?
DBU.
Yes. Yep. DBU. Yes. Well, You know what? LSU is WRU. Yes, I guess if that means, right? They're WRU, right? They're also a little bit of QBU too nowadays. You know what I mean? It's a little different than when Corey Webster was there. Look, here's the way this went down. Okay, in this mock, I used a bunch of different simulations. I used my own intuition. I used the Ouija board. I did everything I could here, Brandon. Everything I could. All right, and you know, I think there will be a run on quarterbacks. I think the top three picks will be quarterbacks. You know, I know people are saying the Patriots maybe no. I don't know. Last I checked, the Patriots need a quarterback. They don't have one. They have, what, Jacoby Brissett? They need a quarterback. They need to draft one, and there'll be a good one there for them, either Jaden Daniels or Drake May. I think they take one. And in this mock, I have somebody, either the Vikings or the Broncos or the Raiders, trading up at 4 or 5 to take J.J. McCarthy. Now, a month or two ago, I would have said, trading up for J.J. McCarthy, you know, is he a top 10 pick in this draft? But, you know, you got to be an idiot not to listen to what you're hearing. And all I hear with J.J. McCarthy is intangibles. And don't worry that he didn't throw the ball to Michigan. It's not that he can't do it. He wasn't asked to do it because they won every game without him doing it, right? You know, coaches like to do often the most conservative thing possible to win. And that's what Jim Harbaugh did. And they went 27-1 with J.J. McCarthy. So I'm taking him off the board. So now I'm taking 4 quarterbacks and I'm taking Marvin Harrison Jr. off the board. Okay. I think that's a great scenario for the Giants. Okay. Do they explore trading up, you know, to get a quarterback a little bit, but I don't think they really, you know, they don't want to trade up for J.J. McCarthy. I don't think, they can get up to 3 to get, you know, Drake May or Jaden Daniels. And I don't think one of those teams wants to come back and miss on a quarterback. So I don't know if this trade is going to work for the Giants. So look, if you add neighbors now, you know, we've been hearing, Brandon, I know you're a big wide receiver guy. What did we hear for a month or two before this? Marvin Harrison is maybe the best player in this draft, right? You know, he's a number one surefire pick. And then as it goes on, some people like neighbors a little better. Some people like he's more explosive. He has more separation, more yards after catch. Fine. He's a little faster than Marvin Harrison. He's not as big as Marvin Harrison. Look, if somebody wants to take neighbors first and the Giants get Marvin Harrison Jr., more power to them. I don't think they're going to sweat that one too badly. But look, neighbors is he runs, what is he run, a 4.38 or something like that? I mean, he's fast as the wind. He averages 17.6 yards per catch. He had 14 touchdowns last year. He's a great player. You know, most people think he would easily be a number one pick in other years as a wide receiver. If he goes 2 this year, fine. He instantly becomes their best wide receiver. Now Wandale moves down. Now Jalin Hyatt moves down. Now Darius Slayton moves down. Now all of a sudden that unit, which looks kind of like a B plus-ish, probably B minus unit. Now it gets elevated, gives Daniel Jones a great weapon. I think if they could get Malik Nabers, they would be thrilled.
Yeah, I mean, he's a guy that will catch 1 for 5 and get you 50. There's a couple of schools where when their receivers come out in the first round and they're rookies, they're NFL ready. Ohio State, USC, Bama, and LSU. Giants fans will love that pick, especially with, you know, Darius Slayton kind of holding out right now. You're going to need that speed to replace Darius Slayton if something kind of goes left field with that, which we're hoping we're not, because he'd be a great piece to come in there and kind of be that that second, third, fourth receiver on this team. We're going to lump in the second and third round picks. Who do you got, Paul?
One last thing quickly about the first round pick. You know, I think Nabers is every bit the prospect that Odell Beckham Jr. was in 2013, yep. Every bit. And what did he do? He missed 4 games and then, you know, caught 1 million passes for 1,300 yards. You know, he was a great player. So this guy could do that. You know, he's that good of a player. Now, in the second round of 47 overall, they need a cornerback.
The long wait is over. The draft is fine.
Yep.
They badly need a cornerback. I mean, they just need one. And so, you know, you don't want to force a pick, but you wait after the second round. You're not going to get a guy who's going to have a chance to start, probably. So I have Kamari Lassiter from Georgia, 3-year starter, 44 games. He can play man. He can play zone. Just look who was on this roster. You have Deonte Banks, who had, I would call, a solid rookie year. Certainly not bad and certainly not great. solid, encouraging, something to build on rookie year. Very durable, great attitude, you know, but needs to pick it up and start playing like not a rookie anymore. But certainly a guy you're comfortable with starting, but you need somebody else. He had a veteran in Adoree Jackson. Adoree Jackson's not there right now. So, you know, I think Lassiter can be a guy who could start. Look, the other guys on the roster, Cordell Flott is a nickelback to me. They re-signed Darnay Holmes. He's a nickelback to me. Nick McLeod can play some outside. They re-signed him, restricted free agent tender. They signed him. And Trey Hawkins, right? I mean, he was the talk of training camp last year and won a starting job. And, oh, my gosh, they're going to start two rookies. Well, how did that work out? After two games, Trey Hawkins was benched and really didn't play much after that. I like his intangibles. He's got to show that he's a better player. So he would stay in the mix. But Kamari Lassiter, I think, you know, is a guy you need that position. And then in the third round, you know, they could go a lot of different ways here. They could go offensive line. They could go safety. I think they need a running back, you know, and I think you could get the first or second or third best running back in this spot in the third round. It's not a big year for running backs. So I'm having them at the third round, number 70 overall, taking Jalen Wright from Tennessee. This is the guy who runs a 4.38 in the 40. He's almost 210 pounds. He's fast. You know what else would I like about him, Brandon? One-year starter. Now, why do you like him that he's a one-year starter? He doesn't have as much wearing. You know what I mean? I mean, why do you need a running back to be a three- or four-year starter and have all those miles on him? You don't need that. Show me one good year. He has 368 rushing attempts. So one-year starter. He's not beaten up. They signed Devin Singletary. He's a pretty good player. You know, has he ever had a 1,000-yard season? No. He's more of a complimentary back in my mind. He's going to need someone else with him. Is it Gary Brightwell? Is it Eric Gray? Is it Jay Sean Corbin? I don't know about that. Mm-hmm. So running backs can play right away as long as they prove they can hold on to the ball and pass protect. You know, because the running is the stuff that should come natural to him. So I think you drafted a receiver in the first round and a running back in the third round. This team was 30th in the league in scoring. You need to be more explosive. Neighbors can take the top off the play, and Wright can get tough yards and he can get long yards. So I think you made your offense a lot better in these first three rounds.
Yeah, you let Devin Singletary kind of be your bell cow. You're in between the tackle running back, and then you let Wright kind of be your speed guy. And like you just kind of touched on it, what is the common denominator between Neighbors and right, speed. Giants offense needs speeds. They need home runs. So I'm all on board for those two picks right there, Paul. Quickly round out that last day for us, 4 through 6, because the Giants don't have a 7th. Then we'll get to the fan video.
All right, well, yes, I'm going to take most of my time on the 4th-round pick because it's a quarterback. It's Michael Pratt of Tulane, okay? And people say, oh, that is just such a waste of a pick. You know, I see people say, why are you taking a quarterback in the 4th round? Why are you taking him? It's just a waste. Okay. Dak Prescott was a 4th round pick. You know, do you remember when the Washington franchise took RG3 in the 1st round? Who did they take in the 4th round that
year? Kirk Cousins.
And you say, why the heck did they take two? Well, because they wanted to develop them. They liked them. Now, I can't tell you, oh, Michael Pratt is going to be one of those guys. But did anyone then when they were drafting, when the Cowboys drafted Prescott and when the Washington drafted Cousins, they said, okay, whatever. These guys can develop. This guy was a good player at Tulane. He can run. He has, I think, 90 touchdowns, 26 interceptions. He's a guy that Brian Daboll can get, you know, his hands on, you know, literally and figuratively and work with him. And you know, this is something that Joe Shane said last week, and it was interesting. When I asked him specifically, does it make sense to draft a quarterback on that third day? If you say, you know what, he's not going to be a guy who probably can take us to the Super Bowl. He said, yeah, because you know what? You need a quarterback number two, and if you can hit on a guy there, then he's a lot cheaper than Tyrod Taylor and
Drew Lock.
Drew Lock, who's making $5 million. So you can get a guy for 3 or 4 years who's making very little money, and you can develop and who knows. So I don't think it's stupid. I think it makes sense. You've made the quarterback room better, And, you know, we'll see what happens. It's not just for this year, it's for next year. Maybe he can be the backup, and then you're paying cheap money. Maybe you can pay somebody else. In the fifth round, I finally addressed the offensive line. Javon Foster from Missouri. He's 6'5", 313. He looks the part. You develop him. He doesn't have to play right away. Don't forget Evan Neal, as we said, as struggling. It's like pitching. You can't have too many guys who can play tackle. A sixth round, 183 overall, I took a safety. Dadrian Taylor Demerson from Texas Tech. He's played a lot of ball. He can play special teams. They don't have Xavier McKinney anymore. They have Jason Pinnock. Maybe Dane Belton starts. They signed Jalen Mills for not a lot of money, so I don't think they're expecting miracles from him. You throw another safety into the mix. Look, I drafted a running back in the third round. I drafted a safety in the sixth round. That is more of what Joe Shane thinks about those positions. You get them on the cheap and you develop them, right? You know, he didn't want to pay Xavier McKinney, who's a terrific player. He didn't want to pay Saquon Barkley, who's a terrific player, because it's positional value. So that's where I went in the draft there.
When it comes to that fourth round quarterback, when you have an offensive-minded head coach who's used to being an offensive coordinator, these are when they evaluate these quarterbacks, these are guys that you look at, I can take this guy in the late round and I can make him what I want him to be. You saw it with Kyle Uletta and Davis Webb, who didn't take over as starters at one point, but for a while they Davis Webb was a backup that came in and it beat the Eagles down in Philly. So I could see that happening if Daniel Jones is where they want him to be, and they can make that move or take that gamble on a quarterback in the fourth round. Paul, we're loving the mock drafts. We're going to see how it holds up against the actual draft. But you did a great job with those things, man. We appreciate you breaking that down for us. Now it's time for the fan videos. We asked you all to send in some videos. We got two great responses from two great Giants fans. First up, we've got El Jefe from New York Revival.
Hey guys, it's El Jefe from New York Revival. Thanks for taking the question. If quarterbacks go 1-4 in this draft, like they are rumored to go, what do you think the chances are of the Giants taking their receiver at 6 and then moving back into the first to maybe try to grab a Michael Penix Jr.? That way, with their first two picks, you got a quarterback who can sling it, and you've got a top-tier wide receiver. If it's Neighbors, he's phenomenal from LSU. If it's Odunze, you get his college teammate. Bring that chemistry right over to the Giants offense. I think that would be enough to ignite this fan base and get excited about. Can't wait to hear your response. Thanks, guys.
I appreciate you sending that in, El Jefe. You gave us something to think about. Giants drafting Malik Neighbors at 6, just like you called, Paul, on that final mock draft. But now he wants to know, can you see a situation with them trading back into the first to get the quarterback that they want? What do you feel about that, Paul?
Well, the quarterback that they want on a second tier. You know what I mean?
Yep.
I think it's something they will investigate. Now, you know, is it Bo Nix? Is it Michael Penix? You know, those are the two guys you think would be appropriate to trade up for. I think there's a chance you can get Penix early in the second round. I really do. You know, I think I know. He's a beautiful throw of the football. Now, he's a lefty, so that's not for everyone. Now your right tackle has to be your blindside protector, and he has a significant injury history. 2 ACLs, 2 shoulders. Now, he was very durable. You know, in his time in Indiana was just an injury fest. You know, he was hurt a lot. You know, 2 ACLs is serious stuff. You know, it's hard to come back from that, but he did. And he was healthy the last 2 years at the University of Washington, obviously took the Huskies to within one game of winning the national championship. But if you notice, he doesn't move around that much anymore. He's not a great scrambler. So I think he's affected by that. So I think that knocks him down. Bo Nix is a guy, you know, where's he going to go? Is he going to go 15? Is he going to go 28? I have no idea where he's going to go. The problem with trading up is, what do the Giants have to trade up with? You know what I mean? They have a second round pick, which is 47. It's not a great second round pick. They only have 6 picks. Does Joe Shane want to dip into a second round, or God forbid, a first round pick in 2025? I don't know. I think it's something they would explore. But see, that's also, you know, if you trade up to get a guy, now you're saying, well, we invested capital to trade up for a guy in the bottom of the first or even higher in the second round. So we don't have to play him right away. And he doesn't have to be Daniel Jones's heir apparent. But what you're doing there is saying, we're trading up for a guy, you know, late in the first or early in a second, who is probably not going to help our team this year when you have other positions of need that are there. So yeah. I certainly think it could happen, though, because there is an appetite to add a quarterback. And I don't know exactly if they look at it and say, look, if Brian Daboll saying, look, Bo Nix is tremendously experienced, I'd love to have him, you know, on this roster. Okay, if he's saying that, then they got to try go up and get him. Penix is a little different story because Joe Shane said the other day, we've had injury problems with this team over the last 2 years, and you have to be very careful drafting guys who have injury histories because, as we all know, there is a saying, you know, injured players get injured. So, you know, I think you have to be careful with Penix.
Yeah, definitely have to be careful, and especially, like you said, what are you going to give up to get back into that first round? With the amount of holes on this team and the areas that need to be addressed, I just don't think that they have enough draft capital to give up for a guy that, unless you think he is the day one starter. But that's going to be something interesting. And again, El Jefe, appreciate you for sending that in. Next up, from all the way out in Germany, my guy, Sesh Janssen, what do you got for us?
Hey guys, the long wait is over. The draft is finally here. What do you think will happen with the Giants in the first round? And I have a bonus question for you. What do you think will happen to Giants social media after Giants draft Joe Out, the left tackle from Notre Dame?
So, Paul, we've seen this before where all we've talked about, the fans have talked and tweeted about, was player X, player Y, player Z. And then someone come out of nowhere, like the Daniel Jones, when Daniel Jones was drafted. Now, if the Giants and Joe Shane go with Joe Alt, a tackle, what do you think the fan response would be?
I think there's a small segment of the population who is like, offensive line, offensive line, offensive line, and they would be happy. Now, is Joe Alt worthy of the number six pick? Yes, he is. He is. He's a stud, Notre Dame. You know, looks the part, acts the part, no warts on him. It, plug and play him at left tackle right away, certainly. Now, okay, a couple of things with that. The Giants have a left tackle, right? It's Andrew Thomas. So you are taking a number six pick in the draft and saying, you're a left tackle, but we're moving you to right tackle. You can do that with a guy lower down or a veteran, but it makes no sense to me to have a guy who's built for one position and move him to another position. It's duplication. Now, could Alt at right side and Andrew Thomas on the left side be there for the next 7, 8, 9, 10 years and be a great tandem? Sure. But I don't feel right about moving a guy into a new position because right and left are different positions. And then you are absolutely saying, Evan Neal, you're in the trash heap, you know, because I don't think there's a lot of appetite to move Evan Neal to guard. So you are giving up on Evan Neal now, which I don't think they want to do. So good player. Really good player, worth a top 10 pick. And I'm not saying, as we said earlier in this podcast, I'm not saying I guarantee you the offensive line is fixed, but it just doesn't seem to fit this year with this team, with the other needs. It just doesn't work. And you have a great left tackle, so you don't need to find another one.
Sesh Janssen, I see what you're trying to do there, trying to stir a little something in the pot all the way out there from Germany. And if the Giants do take Joe Alt, like you said, great pick, but the need playmakers. I'll be on stage emceeing, Paul, trying to duck bottles, all that stuff, people throwing it at me like I'm the one who made that call. All right, final thoughts, Paul. Wrap us up so we can close up and get ready for Thursday.
You know, I don't like going to every draft and saying this is a franchise-defining moment. This is a make-or-break draft for Joe Shane. Yeah, it's important that he gets it right. There's no question about it. You know, they didn't want to be sitting at six. Last, you know, we did not think they would be at six. They were coming off a playoff year, and they bottomed out. They went 7-10. It was a bad 7-10. They got the number six pick, and I understand people's appetite. You're up this high. We have to get a quarterback. A lot of fans are tired of seeing Daniel Jones. I think they will take a quarterback if they can. I don't know if they can. Unfortunately, this is a year where quarterbacks are going to go hot and heavy. So that, to me, is the question of this draft. It's not Neighbors or Romo Dunze, another player I've mocked who I think is terrific. Yep. I mean, terrific. You know, I mean, 1A, 2A, whatever. He's terrific from Washington. He was the beneficiary of all those moon balls from Michael Penix. You know, but to me, it's not that. To me, if they take a cornerback, to me, is do they take a quarterback? Now, I'm not talking about in the fourth round like I mocked. Do they take a quarterback or high, or don't they? If they do, then you have all that stuff that I talked about. You know, it happens fast and furious. If they don't, then okay, they're going to sit with Daniel Jones for another year. And now who do they have? And are they fixing this offense? Because, you know, Joe Shane has said it several times. When you have an offensive-minded head coach, and then he goes into you'd like a wide receiver number one or you the quarterback, all those things. Brian Daboll is a offensive-minded head coach. The offense has been bad. It's time they get some better players here and make it look better.
I just got two words: speed, weapons. That's all. That's what the fans want to see. That's what this offense needs. That's what this franchise needs. That energy of a big play, the crowd going crazy at the MetLife Stadium, and having some sort of lead so the defense doesn't have to stop the run late in the games, but just pass, get after a quarterback and hold on to a lead. That's what Giants fans want to see. Make sure you guys check out the New York Post Sports coverage of draft night. We've got Dexter Henry, who's going to be hosting it. Paul is going to be calling in to talk about, to give his thoughts on the pick. And I'm going to be calling in from MetLife Stadium because I'm emceeing the Giants draft night party. Hope to see you guys there. Thanks for watching the pre-draft show of Blue Rush. We'll check you guys next week for the post-draft show of Blue Rush. For Paul Schwartz, I'm Brendan London. Thanks, guys, for watching.